We'll read from Mark chapter 7 then, and we'll read from verse 24. Mark 7 and verse 24. Mark 7 from verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying go your way, the devil is gone out of your daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the demon gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit, and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed, and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plain, and he charged them that they should tell no one. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. May the Lord bless that reading, this word to us tonight. And Lord, we thank you for your word and pray you'll speak to us and bless us in your word tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Just to take the phrase in the last verse, He has done all things well. In John's Gospel, it declares in the first chapter, He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, that's the authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And here in this chapter, we've got the whole situation of the gospel. That Jesus came to seek the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And in the first part of the chapter, we get some of the response to that from Pharisees and such like, who want to live by their rules and regulations and don't want to accept the teaching of Jesus. And then this second part of the chapter, it switches over to the Gentile territory. And there's a preparation there for Gentiles to come to know the Lord. So he came to his own received him not. But to as many as received him, and here's a Syrophoenician woman that received him, and later they bring a man to him that's again a Gentile, and they receive from the Lord according to their faith. And so it is, if you like, a preparation for the fact that although Jesus came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, both Jew and Gentile, there in the gospel. So he turns from the unbelieving, questioning, challenging Pharisees and Jews, and he goes into the area, the borders of Tyre and Sidon, which is up north of Galilee, north of Israel, northwest of Israel, away into Gentile territory. Why has he gone there? It seems apparent when we read this chapter that he's gone to be apart. He's gone to rest and to be with his disciples and to feed and nourish his disciples. He entered into a house and would not have and would have no man know it. He wanted to be alone, but he could not be hid. And there they come to him. And you know, when this Syrophoenician woman comes to Jesus, although he seems to block her request at first, yet in the end there is a response to supply her every need. You see, the Lord said in the book of Jeremiah, he said, You shall seek me, and you shall find me when you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of view. And here they come seeking for him. To his own disobedient people, he says, "You'll search for me and find me when you seek for me with all your heart. You'll find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." And here we come now, in verse 25. He didn't want to be found, but he could not be hid. A certain woman, it says. She's a Syrophoenician woman. She's from this area of Tyre and Sidon. She's a Gentile. And she's coming to find Jesus because she had a young daughter who was possessed of an unclean spirit, and she'd heard of him. That's what it says. She'd heard of him. And she came and fell at his feet. She had heard of him. Therefore, she came in faith. What she had heard, she was prepared to believe. And she sought him out. You see, we find here a faith in the Lord that is greater than Jesus could find amongst his own people. And Jesus actually knew that in Tyre and Sidon, there was a greater openness to the things of God than there was in his own country, in Galilee, in Israel. Why do I say that? Well, in Matthew 11 and verse 21, it says, "Woe unto you, Chorazin! Woe unto you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which had been done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." And if we look at Matthew's Gospel, and in Matthew 15 this time, we'll find that the initial approach of this woman to Jesus, Matthew supplies a few more details. So Matthew 15, I'll read the verses, Matthew 15 and verse 22 to 24. "And behold, a woman of Canaan," this is the same woman, Canaan is the whole area, "and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. But he answered her not a word." Now there's a response. He answered her not a word. In fact, it's no response. There was no response from Jesus. "And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He answered her not a word. There was no reply. This woman had come in faith to seek the Lord to get an answer to her problem concerning her daughter. And when she came, not even a reply from Jesus. He ignored her. And if we ask why, we might think of some answers. Maybe he was bringing out her faith. She was not of Israel, but he was bringing out her faith. A faith that would not be denied. That's the nature of faith. It won't be denied. And it says in the next sentence, that when he has said those things, it says, "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me." That takes a stage further. Not only did she have faith, not only did she come because she'd heard of him and believed, but she also had a view concerning him that he is the Lord. Otherwise she wouldn't have worshipped him. She worshipped him. There's a realisation of who Jesus is. In Mark's Gospel, it says she heard of him and she came. She believed. She had faith. She wouldn't be ignored. And in Mark's Gospel, we find that it says that she fell at his feet in verse 25 of chapter 7. She heard of him, she came, and she fell at his feet. Matthew interprets that for us. She worshipped him. She's coming in an attitude of worship, you see. She's got a revelation. She's got a realization that he is the Lord. And it says she besought him. That word besought is not a word we use very often these days, but she entreated him. She begged him. She was desperate to cast the demon out of her daughter. Let's see it again. She'd heard of him. She was convinced about who he is. And she had faith that not only would the Lord be able to heal her daughter, but she believed she would do it for her, a non-Jew, not of the people of Israel. Her faith was strong. At first, it says in Matthew, Jesus answered her not a word. But when she besought him, in verse 27 of Mark 7, it says, Jesus said to her, "Let the children first be filled. it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. She got a rebuff from Jesus. She'd come in faith, and what did she get for her faith? It was a rebuff. He was turning her away, so it seems. I've not come for you, I've come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It seemed to be blunt, it seemed to be harsh. It's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. Now the word that's used for dogs there is little dogs. Family pets. It's not being cruel and harsh. He's saying it's for the family, not for the pets and the hangers-on. But she doesn't take this in the wrong way. She agrees. She said to him, yes, Lord. She agrees. But then she goes on to say, but even the family dogs, they get food. It comes from the same table. They get the food, the crumbs and the bits and pieces that they throw to the dogs. They get fed. In other words, what you're saying is right, but there's something for me as well. You see, in John chapter 6 and verse 37, Jesus said, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. This woman was coming to Jesus, and she was coming in faith. She was believing that the Lord could do what she was asking for, and that he would do it for her. And here it is, the truth behind it is, those that come to the Lord in faith, whether Jew or Gentile, he will in no wise cast out. Jesus could see that in her answer, great faith was manifested. She accepted him. Even the dogs get something, Lord. We go back to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 15, verse 28. At this point, Jesus exclaims and he says, O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you, even as you will. Jesus was expressing such surprise because he had not found such great faith, no, not in all Israel. And here he comes. And this woman is believing. Even rebuffed, even pushed away, she's still believing. She's still claiming by faith that which she has come for. In Mark chapter 7, here in verse 29. And he said to her, for this saying, go your way. The demon is gone out of your daughter. For this saying, great is your faith. I've not found such great faith, no, not in Israel. And her daughter, it says in Matthew's Gospel, her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Go your way, in Mark's Gospel, the demon is gone out of your daughter. Just the word. There was no shout, there was no command from a distance. Jesus just said, it's been done. And here's the faith of the woman. There'd been no prayer. There'd been no declaration from a distance. Get out of that, girl. Just Jesus saying to the woman, the demon's gone. And here's the faith of the woman. She went. No, not lingering with the Lord anymore, begging, pleading, asking. The moment Jesus said, the demon is gone, she believed the Lord. She took the word of God and his word, and in faith she went. And when she got home, she found the demon had got out of her daughter, and she was laid upon the bed. In other words, her daughter was at rest and at peace, whereas before, possessed by this demon, she never had peace. She never had rest. Things had changed. She was no longer tormented. And here we are, Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verse 22, Jesus said, and all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. This woman received from the Lord, according to her faith. And the Lord said, I've not found such great faith, no, not in all Israel. And Jesus moves from that situation. He moves from that situation. And he goes to the region of Decapolis in verse 31. Departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis, the 10 cities. That's what Decapolis means. And on that side of the Sea of Galilee is southeast from Nazareth, and it's the other side of the Sea of Galilee from Nazareth. Tyre and Sidon was up northwest, and then you come down round the other side of the Sea of Galilee and down to Decapolis. And there he is, still in this Gentile area, and they bring to him a man that's deaf and has an impediment of speech. You know, the Syro-Phoenician woman, she came to Jesus, as many do today, of her own response of faith. But you know, others, and it's the same today, others have to be brought to Jesus. There are impediments, there are things in the way, and they need to be brought to Jesus, that those things can be dealt with. And so we do pray that people will come seeking the Lord, but there are people that need to be brought, to be drawn. This man needed to be brought because he was deaf and he had an impediment of speech, and he needed to meet Jesus. His friends and those that brought him knew that he needed to meet Jesus. Maybe he wasn't quite aware of the situation, but they were bringing him to Jesus that he might find, here's somebody who can help you. And they ask for him. The Syrophoenician woman asked for herself. But these people who brought the deaf and the one who had an impediment of speech, they asked for him. They beseeched the Lord to put his hand upon him. They beseeched the Lord to put his hand upon him. Now the disciples and Jesus laid hands on the sick and they recovered. And the Lord Jesus Christ has promised the church that these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And they come asking, Lord, lay your hands upon him, Lord. What did Jesus do? In verse 33, he took him aside, away from the multitude. Maybe there's a lot of doubt amongst the multitude. Maybe he didn't want the multitude seeing what he did because people tend to copy. And this was a one-off situation. He took the man aside and he put his fingers in his ears. You see, this man hadn't heard a word that Jesus had said. He's deaf. So Jesus makes physical contact with him, doesn't lay hand on him, he puts his fingers in his ears. Maybe there's a thought there. You know, when the man was born blind, came to Jesus, he spat, he made the clay, he spat on the ground and he made the clay and he smeared it on his eye. You know, some people have said that what Jesus was actually doing was he was creating new eyes for the man. Just as man was formed out of the earth, out of the ground, Jesus took from the earth and he made new eyes for the man. Maybe Jesus, sticking his fingers in, maybe he's given him new eardrums. He's the creator. Hallelujah. And he spat. Or he did spit on the ground. And he touched his tongue. And here is Jesus, and looking up to heaven. So his fingers in his ears, he spat, he's touched his tongue, and then looking up to heaven. Go back to Mark 6 and verse 41. It's the feeding of the 5,000 and the loaves and the fish. And Jesus said the blessing. The blessing in Hebrew, as I said at the time, when we look at this, the blessing in Hebrew blesses God. He wasn't blessing the bread, he was blessing God. Blessed art thou, Lord God, King of the universe, who has given us this bread and so on. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them. And they did all eat and were filled. What did he do? He looked up to heaven. He looked up to heaven. Jesus, the man Christ Jesus, lived as a man, and in that same attitude that we have to live with the Lord, we look to him. The Son looked to the Father. The Son came to do the will of the Father. He endured the situations on earth, the temptations and all the rest of it. But he's looking to the Father. And here he's looking to the Father. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in John chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Then answered Jesus and said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. He's looking at the Father. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for what things soever he does, these also does the Son likewise. He's looking to heaven. He's looking to the Father. To be led, to be guided, by directed. Because he came to do the Father's will. And he came to do the Father's will, living here on earth as a man. Enduring all those things that we have to endure, going on around us that would lead us astray and all the rest of it. He had to go through that, doing the will of the Father perfectly. And he's looking to the Father. And he sighed. You see, there is, in one view of this idea, he sighed because of the suffering that men and women around him were going through. Lord, look what's happening to your wonderful creation. There's a sigh there. But if we look at chapter 8 and verse 12 of Mark, he says, he sighed deeply in his spirit and says, why does this generation seek after a sign? The Pharisees have begun to question him. And he sighed. And he sees everything was going against the things of the Father and against God. And here, this sickness and disease, it wasn't what the Father intended when he created men and women, that they should be sick and diseased. And Jesus looking up to heaven, looking to the Father, if you like, side. There's unbelief, you see, in the vicinity. Maybe even those that brought him weren't quite sure about whether Jesus could do this or not. And he spoke the command. He spoke a word of faith. Ephatha, Aramaic, for be opened. And here we get the servant word again. Here we get the servant word again in verse 35. Straightway, immediately, his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Hallelujah. Or you can imagine what the friends might have thought that brought him. They were going to tell everybody, you know, today that have had it on their cameras and they'd been putting it on YouTube and all the rest of it, and it would have gone viral, as they say. But he charged them that they should tell no one. Jesus didn't want that sort of fame. He didn't want people just coming for seeking signs and wonders for their own sake. Here was a man who had a need, and he met that need. He wanted to keep it quiet. He charged them that they should tell no one. But the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it. And they were beyond measure astonished, saying, here's that little phrase that started us off. He has done all things well. He makes the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Those needs were met. In Gentile territory, he's preparing the way for the gospel going out, not just to those for whom he initially came. He came to his own received him not. But the time would come when Jesus would say to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Jesus, in these verses, we find that Jesus brings to us and presents to us the truth that the gospel is for the whole world, Jew and Gentile. The Jews who rejected him, the Gentiles who nailed him to the cross, is for the whole world. And these needs were met. Jesus went into these territories. He himself said, I've come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But he went into Gentile territory. He went to Tyre and Sidon. He went to the Decapolis region. There were needy people that needed to know the salvation of God and his healing and deliverance. And in the fullness of time, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Praise the Lord.